Good evening, everyone. You got you. Good evening. There you go. Caught me off guard. You guys glad to be in the house this evening? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to welcome everybody, and for all the viewers that are online tonight, our online church, I just want to welcome you tonight as well. So I hope tonight will be an encouragement to you just as much as the ones that are sitting in this house tonight. So we're going to get busy. We got work to do tonight. So we're going to get right into the message. We're going to open up with Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And we're going to get right into tonight because I got a lot of ground to cover tonight, if that's okay with you. Yeah. Let's do it. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, there's something about when we start singing about the blood. Lord, things change. The atmosphere changes, God, because of what you did on the cross. Lord, there's still power in your name. There's still power in the blood. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I call you healer. I call you savior. I call you Lord. I call you friend. My God, I call you Jesus. Lord, I love you. I worship you tonight. Lord, I ask that you would just fill my heart, fill your people's hearts tonight. Fill their cup. May they be blessed tonight. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I entitled this little message tonight, The Time Is Now. The time is now. That is the message of the sermon tonight. Quick backstory: I did a small. I had a men's meeting Saturday. Got a couple guys together, and we just had a little breakfast, and we were talking about some things, and talking about the future, and about all the goodness and all the great things that are happening. And so I gave a 5-minute devotion, and they loved it so much. They said, "Can you make that a sermon?" So you guys get more than 5 minutes tonight. So this was my men's fellowship devotion that I did Saturday, and we are working on some things, and I want to let you guys know you should be excited. You guys should be excited. Despite everything that's going on in the world, man, revival's breaking out, and God is bringing people to his house. He is saving people and adding people to the church daily, so don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to them. So God is doing good things. Jesus told us, go and make disciples of all people and create a community to continue that work he set forth for his church. This evening, we want to take a few moments to look at some of the instructions and the model he laid out for us in his word. The first point I want to look at this evening is the commission. The commission. It says in Matthew 28, verse 19, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Tonight we are going to work from the end to the beginning. That's how my message is going to work tonight. We're going to work from the end to the beginning. This is the commission. We know that Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he's saying, this, I've taught you everything that I know. I've been with you. I've walked with you. Everything that the Father's revealed to me, I have revealed to you. Because why? I call you friends. And I want you to continue the work on until I come back again. And so we know this is the Great Commission. This is the commission. But we want to look at tonight, I want to look at a disciple, and I want to look at favor tonight for his people. What a disciple is in favor. It says the disciple is a devoted follower and a learner of Jesus who accepted him as Lord and Savior. That is the first attribute, that is the first characteristic of a disciple. The moment you put Jesus Christ, you put your faith in him, something happens, something changes. Everything you once knew is gone. All your purpose, all your plans, the real repentant heart. I'm talking about the real person that really repents, doesn't just say the daily daily prayer that says, I'm getting real with you. He turns around and he goes the opposite direction. The man that really puts his faith in Jesus, something happens. Something from heaven to earth and that spirit changes dramatically. It's radical. We don't see that sometimes on the outside, but it is a radical change on the inside when salvation truly takes place in a person's heart. 2 Corinthians 5:13 and 15 read, if we are out of our, I love this verse, if we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Excitement takes place when someone first accepts the Lord as Savior. Many of you all may have seen, I don't know how many come to the first service on Sundays at 8:30. I usually stand right there, kind of where Harold's sitting tonight. I got a little excited last Sunday. Does anybody come on the first service? Raise your hand. Did anybody see me jumping around? Yeah, Adrian. Something happens. I got excited Sunday. Dead things were coming alive. I believe God is doing something in this house. He's doing something. He's shifting and changing things. He really is. He's doing things in young people's life. He's doing new things in old people. He's resurrecting things. He's bringing old things back to life again. And when I started singing about the name of Jesus and dead things coming back to life, I just said, Lord, you're just pouring it out. And I said, break the stiffness off. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Let freedom begin to ring in people's hearts again. Let all generations start to melt together. Learn from one another. Lord, bring that community back together. Bring that unity back together. And I see it. And it's exciting. So excitement takes place when someone first accepts the Lord as Savior. The second point I want to look at tonight, and this is going to be the meat of it, is the call. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, and we're going to read verses 27 and 28. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, go away from the Lord, from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon Peter, along with his partners, were fishermen by trade. That's what they did for a living. He would have been seen in our culture today as a blue-collared worker. He'd been a blue-collared worker. I can relate to that in some fashion. I've kind of lived both sides. I'm living both sides now. I did the trade. I did the welding for a long time, and now I sometimes don't know what to do with myself. Sometimes sitting behind a desk and stepping into the call that God has placed on my life, and sometimes I don't know how to do that. I get up and I'm like, I got to move. I got to do something. That antsiness is still in me. I got to move and shake it off. But it's interesting, he calls Peter and his partners with him, and I've always been fascinated by Peter because of how he calls Peter. He's the first disciple he calls to him. When we jump down to verse 27, it says, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, Matthew, sitting at a tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Levi was a tax collector by occupation. He would have been seen as a white-collar worker. You might have seen. If he was working today, he might have been working at the local county assessor's office. That's where Jesus would have picked him up, would have saw him. What's interesting about these two gentlemen is you've got almost two completely different class of men You got a fisherman by trade with his friends, and then you got another gentleman that's basically sitting behind an office and is counting money and doing all the things, keeping records and doing all the things that needed to be done. But what this shows us, this is a powerful picture of Jesus calling two completely different classes of men and changing their names. When they said, "I want to follow you, Jesus," when he called them, it says they immediately left everything they were doing and they just followed him without question. What a picture that is of two different people, different strengths, different abilities, different calls. And God says, "I'm going to use you both for the kingdom. I'm going to use you both for the kingdom. You're going to be very valuable in the call that I'm going to place you in. You're going to do great things." We know Peter would go on to preach the most powerful message later on Pentecost. He would go to deliver one of the most powerful messages. Matthew would go on to write one of the most detailed gospels that we have today. Strong, powerful men. I was telling the guys when I was giving this devotion, I bet when they were walking and preaching, walking in with Jesus, listening to all his teachings and doing all the things that he was doing, I bet Peter, especially Peter, because I struggle with this myself. So I'm like, "Lord," Brittany, my wife's smiling because she knows where I'm going to go with this. It's been 3 years. I'm sure Peter, at the end of 3 years walking with Jesus, he's probably thinking, "When am I going to do something?" He's chomping at the bit. But we know that Jesus used them during those 3 years. But sometimes we get a little antsy when the call is placed on our lives. We want to be 100 miles an hour, especially me. I wanted to be 100 miles an hour doing many, many things. And sometimes God's just saying, "Slow down. Let me minister to you. Let me put some people in your life. Let me teach you a few things. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need to be equipped to what the end game looks like." So when the Lord calls us, and we know that really these are the only two disciples that we see that have a name change. We know that signifies the change that took place in them when they called Jesus Lord. That's why we say, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." And what I love about it is Jesus calls us, every single one of us, by name. We have a very personal God. He calls us by name, and when he calls us by name, he gives us a new name. John 10 verse 3 reads, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." The third point I want to look at is the charge. The charge. When he began to call the 12 together, he began to send them out. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 3, it says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." This is the point I want to look at, the verse. "He told them to take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt." These are the first 12 that he sends out. He says, "Don't take nothing." Well, that'd be hard to do in today's world. Don't take nothing. And it says, "If people do not welcome you, leave that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere they went. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it, and they followed. Jesus has said, I'm going to send you out, but you're going to have to walk by faith. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my authority to do these things. And it says they begin to go out. They begin to proclaim the good news. They begin to heal the sick, pray for people, give hope because of who Jesus was. And basically what I'm trying to get at tonight is as they begin to do that, as they begin to go out and minister to people out in the community, outside the four walls, he's like, I'm going to start showing you why I chose you, why I picked you. I'm going to start now sending you. This is the model. This is what it looks like. And as they begin to walk with people, crowds started taking notice. They begin to gain favor with people. Why did they gain favor with people? It's not because they had status. It's not because they had money. It's not because they probably, I'm sure they're pretty rugged looking men, pretty. Sometimes that attracts people. They didn't gain favor because of that. They gained favor because they had something that only the believer has, only the Christian, the true disciple, the true follower of Christ. We have the ability to go out into the communities. Jefferson City, Missouri, you're able to go out and you are able to pray for people. You are able to give hope to people. You're able to say, Jesus can heal you of that. Jesus can mend that broken relationship. You are able to give them true hope. People just out there giving good advice, but we got confidence because of who Jesus Christ is. We have the confidence living in us. We were able to proclaim that to people, and we can say it is real because of what he did. Because he's alive, he can do it for you. The believer has confidence because of Jesus, because of what he's able to do. We are able to speak hope into people's lives around us in the community. And so we were talking about this. This devotion was really about community. And we were talking and say, guys, the time is now. The time is now. And so we're not getting any younger. We need to stop waiting for somebody to get out of the way. We need to stop waiting for a position to open up. If I get the position, I'll be able to do something. We need to start going. We need to start reaching people, speaking to people, wherever you're at. And you'll see the pattern here. He first sent the 12 out, and then they came back. They began to gain favor with people. People are like, wow, I've never had that happen in my life. Who's this Jesus? It says, then he sent the 70 out. They came back. It seems that they began to grow in numbers. They gathered up, and it says in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and verse 17, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was able to go. And he told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Go, 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 go. This is our base. This is where we learn. This is what we do, but the mission field is out there. It is. I had to tell them, pastors are a small portion of growing a church. They are a small degree of growing a church. This church has been really blessed. Pray for Pastor Lowell. Hope he has a great vacation. Hope he gets some rest and relaxation. His teachings are phenomenal, and because of his great leadership and stewardship, it's overflowed and it shows and reflects this church. You can see it. You can see it because of how, well, he loves the Lord, and he loves the Word of God. You know, Jesus gave us a model plan on how to grow the church. And when we stick to that model plan, things begin to happen. People begin to take notice. And the church begins to grow. Pastors don't grow the church. It's the disciples that go and gather the people. The disciples, we got to come into this church every Sunday. We got to come into this church on Wednesday night, and we got to be expecting, believing God for something, God to fill us up, grow, Lord, change something in me. Lord, what, that's what we need, truthfully. Change my heart, refine me, purify me. I've been listening to CC Wine, and there's a song called Refiner. Purify me. Do what you got to do in me, because that's what's going to reach people. I told the Lord I wasn't going to do this tonight. I was in my prayer time today in my office. And I told him I miss my family. I miss my mom. I miss my dad. I miss my brother, my sister. I don't even know why I'm crying.
Human.
I told him I miss him. Be going on 3 years this year. You know, not everybody has a good home life. I understand that. But I had a good mom and dad. They raised me right. Called my mom every day. I'd come home after working at the grocery store and I worked in high school, and she'd be up sitting in the green lazy boy where my dad would come home and sit. It'd be full of concrete dust. You could sit in it and dust would fly out of it. I worked those grocery nights. I didn't get home till 10 or 11 o'clock at night, but she'd be always waiting for me getting home. And I'd talk about God. I'd talk about things that were going on. It says, thanks, yes, Carlos. Thank you. I don't even know where that came from, honestly. I just remember that was my... Maybe it's because we need to get personal in our prayer times. I said, I miss them. They're all doing ministry. They're all serving the Lord. And actually, great things are happening back home. But I missed them. Back to the message. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He sent out 12. And then he came back, they reported, they went back out, he had 70 to send out. We need to pray for the workers in the harvest. But there's a reminder in that verse, verse 17, it says, but Jesus gave them a reminder to his disciples. Verse 19 and 20. And this is a reminder to all of us tonight. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thankful for Pentecostal roots. I'm thankful for the interpretation of Scripture. I'm thankful for the authority of Jesus Christ that we are able to go out and do what we do. I believe that's why the communities need more Spirit-filled churches. It's what sustains us. It's what keeps us going. People are not running on the Holy Spirit. That's why they give up. That's why people in ministry give up. That's why the people who, you know, try to follow Jesus, they give up because they don't have that sustaining power in their life to keep going. Purpose only goes so far. Position only goes so far. You hit different seasons and chapters in your life as you go and you chase, you always have a different something you're chasing at a different season of your life, but it's only the whole, it's only until Jesus Christ gets a hold of you and says, this is why I birthed you. This is what I called you to do. This is who I am. And this is what's going to sustain you until you take your last breath on this earth. It is only Jesus Christ that can really give you true purpose and meaning in life. And people are, they're still trying to find that. They're still trying to find that. But he says, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He's saying, I give you all this power, but still the greatest gift is the gift of eternal life. It's still greater than anything that can supply you, because you're going to do the work, but one day you're still going to pass into glory. The gift of salvation is still the greatest gift of all. And may that be what breaks down walls of denomination. When we get around other people, other churches, when we're in community advanced, we can still say we are one body, one like mind, one accord. We have one thing in common. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are saved, and we are blessed because of him. Yeah. And I believe once we get that figured out and we get that right, revival and all the other things are going to fall into place. He made a point to say that. I think Jesus probably knew in the future there was probably going to be denominations and things of such in the earth. But he says, remember this, anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That is the blessed hope. And that is for all people. Regardless of their background, regardless of their what church they attend, whatever organization they're a part of, that's who Jesus came for. The greatest gift still is the gift of salvation. Don't let the spirit of pride, religion, denomination, a critical spirit, ego get in the way of all that. We all need Jesus. We all need community. When he left, he said, you're going to do it together. And the model was this. As I begin to close tonight, it's Acts 2, 42 and 47. The four verses prior to the opening. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. That is the model plan right there for growing the church. You ever said if it works, don't fix it? Don't change it? There's a lot of great business models out there. There's a lot of great things that you can do. There's all kinds of things today for the church. A lot of them are really good, and they are there to help stay relevant. But that right there, we call that the Acts 2 model. That's why we need to still be meeting in people's homes, getting together, fellowship with one another, breaking bread together, getting to know each other, singing songs together. That's what community looks like. That's the way Jesus left the church. He says, that's how I want it to continue on, to keep going. And so, as we finished out that devotion, I said, men, that's how it grows. That's what he's called us to do, to make disciples, to learn from one another, sharpen each other, read the Word of God, invite people, be filled up with his power, allow walls to be dropped, pride to be dropped, coming together, going out, coming back, going out. We need that on a monthly basis. We need to come together put a plan together, go back out. It says, without vision, the people perish, right? There is a place and time for orchestrating and organizing as well. But that's the plan right there. That's Jesus said, walk in that and you ain't going to fail. Walk in that and you ain't going to fail. And so that's my message tonight. That's my message tonight. We're about 7:50. And we're a few minutes early. I was going to say, as you were walking in tonight, when you came in, you noticed there wasn't an outline. You've probably got figured that out by now. If there's not an outline, it's a good indicator I'm the one preaching tonight. Maybe in another season, I'll start producing outlines, but it's not that season. It's not that season. We got other things. We got a bigger fish to fry. I hope that when I get up and when I'm asked to preach, that I am an encouragement. The church should be an encouragement to people. There's more about encouragement and what Jesus can do for you and for the world in the Gospels and in the Word of God than there is correcting and chastising and all the other things that come, you know, teaching, rebuking, all those things. That all has its place. It's all in there. And it's all for a purpose. You know, most of that is for the church. And it's in different sections. But Lord said, you know, there's more encouragement about the hope of Jesus than there is anything else. People just need to know the hope for Jesus and what his grace is. I remember hearing him say earlier last week, my grace is sufficient for you. Grace is a wonderful thing. And so as we get ready to come into these altars, we pray that God begins to give us favor as we go out into the communities and the people we begin to run into. May we be quick to hear and in tune by the Holy Spirit the actual need that comes forth. I pray that Lord quickens that in people's spirit. When you hear it, you recognize it. And he just illuminates that to you. And you have that opportunity to pray for somebody. I pray that he begins to give us favor in this church. Every person in here, that he would just begin to pour that on us. That we would be that in this community, and that God would continue to, I pray for his will to be done and to continue to do what it's doing. Yes. We're having some phenomenal services. Yes. God's really pouring it out. Adrian's doing a wonderful job leading worship. Yes. She is. Hunter does a phenomenal job. I'm waiting for them to co-partner. But just be excited. Just be excited. If you want to know how the church grew, Acts 2. He said that's the blueprint. Don't deviate away from the blueprint. They used to tell us that all the time. Don't deviate away from the blueprint. If I need to redline something, I'll redline it. So let's focus on that. Let's focus on, as we come into these altars, let's pray for new season, new things that are coming, new ministries that are coming, things that are getting started, that God would pour out his blessing and favor on his people, that we would just shine brighter than normal, that his spirit and glory would just be magnified in us, that conversations, things that would take place, God would just open up doors for us around people. God would just continue to bless this sanctuary, bless this house, bless the people that have sacrificed, that have went before us. Let's do that tonight as we come into these altars.